Our next guest is a veteran political strategist, Washington correspondent for the Philadelphia Tribune, contributing editor at the Root, at theroot.com, and he writes for a bunch of different publications and websites, and he's also a Drive Hall of Famer and our dear friend live in Washington, Mr. Charles Ellison. Charles, how are you, bud?
Steve, what's good? How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine. Got the springtime allergies kicking my ass, but, you know, I'm used to it, so what the hell.
You got springtime allergies and we got frozen roads out here on the East Coast, right?
It's 80 degrees and sunny here.
Enjoy those allergies, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Enjoy them. I'll trade you for snowy, salted streets with slush anytime.
For allergies.
Or 80 degrees and allergies, right. Yeah,
yes.
There you go.
I would prefer the allergies myself, so I don't care. It's all good. Okay, Steve King. Now, this guy, you know, and this worries me because it's not just King, but there's been one or two others who are tweeting and talking just racist crap, and it's like they feel emboldened now,
right?
You know, and that's what's frightening. But talk about Steve King and what he had to say.
Right, you know, so Steve King, and he's been put on the spot about this. He's been basically saying that, you know, white people have led the way in terms of contributions to Western civilization, and everyone else is a subgroup. And, you know, really he was sort of expounding on thoughts that Muslim Americans are really not making contributions to Western civilization, to American society, and we don't really need them. You know, not only do we not need them making those contributions, they're not making those contributions, but we don't need them breeding anymore. So, you know, that's basically to sort of paraphrase what he's saying. You know, we don't need more Muslims in America. We don't need their communities or their families expanding. So Steve King, not one to hold back. You know, definitely he's been known to make very controversial, very, you know, racially tinged comments in the past, if you know Steve King. And so, you know, I mean, this is par for the course for Steve King. But just in the way that he sort of doubled down on those comments in recent days, even going so far as going national TV to get into a very heated exchange with CNN's Chris Cuomo about it, is very, you know, that's very different in a way for Steve King even. And it really speaks to the times that we live in. And you're absolutely right, Steve. You know, you have folks in the political space who feel very emboldened by the election of Donald Trump. They feel that this is their climate, this is their environment, that nothing can stop us now. That's sort of the mindset that they're in, and it is very troubling.
He actually said that blacks and Hispanics will be fighting each other and then overtaking whites in the population. Good God.
Right. Steve King, you know, once again, I mean, you have to look at his district as well. It's the 4th Congressional District.
Iowa.
And, right, of Iowa, excuse me. And, you know, it's 96% white. I mean, that's not to say that all white people have that kind of mindset or that all white people in Iowa, in Iowa's 4th Congressional District, believe in what Steve King says. But at the end of the day, the 4th Congressional District, they keep voting him in. I mean, he's been there for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the lack of diversity, the very thin diversity in there, I mean, it's barely a percentage point black. I mean, it's maybe barely 2.5% Latino in the 4th Congressional District. And that just says a lot about, you know, what's making Steve King feel comfortable enough as an elected official to say that as someone who gets voted into office every 2 years. Obviously, he doesn't feel threatened. And so, you know, that doesn't just say a lot about Steve King. That says a lot about the district where he's from.
You know, I quoted him, but I missed a word that is really telling. Let me quote exactly what he said. I predict that Hispanics and the blacks will be fighting each other before, and then they're going to be taking over the whites or something.
Mm-hmm.
And David Duke, the KKK Grand Wizard, said, that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not surprising. And, you know, it hasn't been surprising for quite some time. You know, and it also speaks to, Steve, to just this growing regionalism that we've been feeling for quite some time, you know, just politics based on region and a lot of the hyper toxicity in politics based on where people are from. And just in terms of, you know, just the cultural mindset of certain regions and in terms of, you know, and how really lack of diversity in certain parts of the country feeds into that. And also the, you know, a lot of, you know, so if you look kind of a little bit more into that language, there's a lot of rural versus urban divide in it. You know, there are a lot of assumptions that are being made about, you know, like, for example, blacks and Latinos and sort of the sorts of communities that they live in, right? And so, and we're also having this big, larger discussion, or at least the Trump administration is pushing this larger narrative about violence in our major cities. And a lot of that violence, a lot of that narrative, when it's visualized, includes people of color, as they say. And so it's, it's going to continue to fester in our politics. I'm afraid that it's just going to get worse before it gets any better, before people realize that it's, I hope it doesn't get to that point, but, you know, I mean, right now at this rate, it'll probably just get worse before, you know, people realize what's happened and realize that before it's too late.
No, I think you're right. And again, I'll repeat, what scares me so much is the fact that these clowns feel emboldened by what's going on right now, and they're going to keep talking like this until something, I don't know, till when. What can be done at this point?
And, you know, a lot of it, too, is just it's been this feeling for years that's been bubbling for some time now, for generations. There's a certain, as some of my colleagues have called it, a certain white fragility that's in it, you know, and just a fear of a lot of the rapid demographic changes that have been taking place in our society, particularly over the past 30, 40 years. And not just the demographic changes, Steve. I mean, also the political changes that have accompanied those demographic changes. And so, you know, Steve King and others, they just come from a political, a cultural class that just felt as if they weren't adequately prepped for this, you know, for these changes. And so, I mean, but you know, and once again, that speaks to where Steve King is coming from. It's Iowa. And there's not a whole lot of diversity going on in Iowa. There's pockets of it in cities like Des Moines, right? I mean, Des Moines is probably the most diverse you get in Iowa. And then, you know, maybe you go to some universities in Iowa and, you know, they've got, you know, small pockets of diverse populations. But, I mean, you just have areas of the country that are like that. And you'll see, you know, from elected officials like Steve King or other elected officials on, like, the state and federal level, for example, they'll make these outrageous comments, and they're coming from places, they're coming from districts that are very isolated from the current diverse multicultural construct that we live in, that we all need to embrace.
Yeah. We have part of the clip, Chris Cuomo and Iowa Rep. Steve King. Let's play this.
You're entitled to your opinion about all these things, obviously. I just want to just go back at this one more time, just because it's that important. A Muslim American, an Italian American, a Christian American, a Jewish American, you do realize that they are all equal, right? They are all the same thing. We don't need babies from one of those groups more than we need them from other groups. Do you agree with that?
Well, I would say that it depends.
Why do you pause
on
a question like
families.
That, Congressman? What do you mean? It doesn't depend on any definition.
Because
you're either an American
you
or you're not.
An objective answer, Chris.
Yeah, but either
simple.
A Muslim American, an Italian American, an Irish, Scotch, German American, which is what your roots are, either those are all equal things or they are not. What is your answer?
They contribute differently to our culture and civilization. There are moderate Muslims that are equal to, in all these categories.
I said a Muslim American. People who have lived here who are assimilated.
Their families.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people teaching hatred in their families who are white,
I think
who are Irish, who are Italian, who are Muslim. A lot of people preach hate. There's hate in a lot of different groups. And I get that you have Muslim extremism, that there's a concern in this country about. Mm-hmm. But I asked you something else. These people are either all equal or they are not, in your view. A Muslim American, an Italian American, German American, like you and your blood, your roots, They are either all equal or they are not in your mind. What is the answer?
I'd say they're all created in the image of God, and they're equal in His eyes. And if they're citizens of the United States, they're equal in the eyes of the law. Individuals will contribute differently, not equally, to this civilization and society, and certain groups of people will do more from a productive side than other groups of people will. That's just a statistical fact. And so,
but it's not as a function of race, it's as a function of opportunity and education. You're not more likely than a Muslim American to contribute to American society. It's about your education and your opportunity, not what your blood is.
Chris?
Yes.
Chris, it's the culture. It's the culture, not the blood. And if you could go anywhere in the world and adopt these little babies and put them into households that were already assimilated into America, those babies will grow up as American as any other baby, with as much patriotism and a much love of country as any other baby. It's not about...
The man is completely and totally, obviously,
right,
insane. And he predicts that Hispanics and the blacks are going to fight each other and take over the whites. I am really pissed off.
I
didn't hear all that earlier today. This guy has, something's got to happen.
But note it once again, you know, notice how comfortable he is as an elected official to say those types of things. And I don't know of any plans at the moment that Steve King might have in terms of relinquishing his seat in Congress, right? And in fact, sometimes Steve King's name comes up as a potential Senate candidate in Iowa.
Oh,
so, it's just that, I think that that's one of those missing conversations in this, too, you know, and that, you know, he feels, you know, to him, you know, he feels as if, you know, he's this, this sort of noble Midwesterner taking on the clueless New Yorker, you know, or the elite New Yorker in Chris Cuomo, right, and the Northeastern elitist establishment. And so, you know, he's coming in there like, you know, some sort of, you know, cultural kind of Braveheart, if you will. And so, you know, he's probably back in Iowa in his district, you know, he's probably getting cheered on.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I'm saying? He's sitting back in the local diner talking about, yeah, I took on Chris Cuomo. You see how I took him on? You know, so it's like, because of that guy with, you know, the New York values. Right? Remember Ted Cruz and the New York values comment?
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, and that's how, which ironically, the leader of his party comes from New York. And, you know, in a sense, you know, kind of like, you know, the way Ted Cruz kind of made a little sense, you know, like, I mean, Donald Trump is kind of as New York mogul big business values as you get. And that's the head of the Republican Party. That's someone that Stephen King looks up to.
Yeah. Well, obviously, it's the First Amendment. He has free speech rights. He can say whatever the hell he wants. But I just hope to God that his district in Iowa in 2018 realizes
that they wake up.
Yeah, that they wake up and come on. I mean, this isn't about politics. This is about insanity, in my opinion.
He's in a good spot, though, because, I mean, Republicans run Congress. And so, you know, it's a lot easier for him to somehow funnel resources to his district.
Yeah, right.
Because his people are in charge.
That's what I'm saying.
It'd be different if Democrats were in charge for him, you know, obviously. So, you know, he's feeling very emboldened right now.
Yeah, exactly. Well, always a pleasure, my friend. Hopefully, it looks like we're coming to New York in May. Maybe we'll take the train to D.C. so we can hook up again.
Okay, that's good, man. You know, hopefully we won't be crisscrossing the country at the same time, because I'll be in Seattle early May.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
For a conference, but we'll figure it out.
All right. All right, my brother, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Political analyst Charles Ellison. Have a great week, bud.
All right, you do the same, bro.
All
take
right.
care.
Bye-bye.